How are we doing? Good. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. I like that. Man knows how he's doing. I need you to teach the rest of these people how they're doing. Teach them how to tell me. Can you do it? No? Oh, you can do it. I got faith in you. Well, it's good to see you this morning. We're studying through Sermon on the Mount, been studying through Sermon on the Mount, and we're nearing the very end of the first chapter, which is pretty cool, and already just had so many folks talk to me about just the stuff we've been going through. I'm very encouraged that so many folks are very encouraged, and I'm very encouraged because it's been really good for me personally. And I hope that it has been for you. But at the end of the day, this is about him. It's not really even about us. It's not about what we can get out of it. It's hard to remember that, though. Like, we approach things like going to a service or being together as the church as to, like, you know, what can I get out of it kind of thing. And the truth is it's for the glory of God. You know, how can we glorify him? How is he glorified in us, spending time with him, whatever it may be? This passage today, I think, is one of those passages that can challenge us. I don't care where you are in life and in the process of trying to follow the Lord, or you don't know the Lord or whatever. This is a challenging passage because the truth is that we all want justice to be served, so to speak. And it's not anti-justice. Don't get me wrong. We'll get into this and you'll see for yourself. But I think for so many of us, we want so badly, if somebody has wronged us, we want so badly for that to be made right that we want to take justice into our own hands many times. Jesus kind of has a little different approach to that. He does his typical thing that Jesus does in many of the passages that we see, especially in Sermon on the Mount, where he has gone and sat down and he is teaching these people that already know the scriptures very well. The issue is that they know a lot of these scriptures very well, as in them being taught wrongly. And so they've been following or adopting things that they've believed that scripture might say, but doesn't really, or making it to say what they want it to say, or, you know, what have you. And so Jesus has to come, and he has to start out these things with making statements like, "You have heard that it was said," which is exactly how verse 38 in chapter 5 starts today. He says this often throughout Sermon on the Mount, because what he's doing is he's trying to help us to have an understanding, as he was trying to help them to have an understanding of what Scripture really does say. Last week I used the illustration of the classic saying that many of us have heard of God won't give you any more than you can handle. Well, I shared with everybody last week and busted a lot of bubbles that's not in the Bible. And the truth is that as nice as that saying sounds, that God wouldn't give us any more than we can handle, the truth is that if he did do that, then we wouldn't need him anymore. And the truth is that he wants us to need him. We need to trust in the Lord. We need a relationship with him. And he desires that relationship with us. And so for him to never give us more than we could handle means we could just go through life doing it on our own. And we don't want that. We want a relationship with him. It is so fulfilling and so amazing. So this morning, if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get it out. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to pick up in verse 38. If you do not have a Bible, we've got ushers that have Bibles, and they will be glad to get you one. So just throw your hand up and let them hand you one. Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going. Let Carrie or Josh give you a Bible. They would love to do so. I've got great stories on both of them. If you ever just want to know something, deep, dark secrets of their lives, I would gladly share them with you. They've given me permission and said that it would be okay. Isn't that right, Carrie? No, it's good to be the church, isn't it? Now, this passage this morning it really kind of surrounds this idea of retaliation or revenge, if you will. It's hard not to want this. I mean, we've all been done wrong by somebody at some point in time. I know families right now, they're going through major crisis in their lives where they've, in essence, been done wrong by somebody. And this can come in any more, in any form or fashion, so many forms of fashion. And the truth is that God wants us to approach this a certain way. And so Jesus has to kind of set some things straight because they've taken some scripture out of the Old Testament to mean something that it doesn't really mean. And so Jesus is trying to help us to understand that. Let's look at that together. Verse 38, chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. Jesus says this. Says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." Now, we've heard this. People nowadays, you know, you'll hear people quote this or whatever, and they probably don't even know a lot of times that it comes from Scripture. And it does come from Scripture. It is in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy that this is quoted from. And so, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, you know, a lot of people take that and go, you know, that's right. Somebody does me wrong, then I've got a Bible passage that is going to allow me to get back at them and you know, whatever. Well, no, that's not the case. And that's what a lot of folks at this point had come to believe, that they could get their justice, that their justice was due them, and they could do whatever they needed to do to get their justice because of this passage of Scripture. So Jesus shows up, says, "You heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth." And he says, "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." I'm going to keep reading. Verse 40. "And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you." All right, so you're reading some of this and you're going, "Oh man, this just sounds like a big old mess of somebody taking advantage of me," is what this sounds like. You feel that way? It's hard not to feel that way some days, right? I mean, you know, when you there have been people that you've helped out and they've burned you, or, you know, did you wrong, or, you know, they're supposed to pay you back, or, you know, whatever it was. You know, it's hard not to feel that way. It's hard not to go, "You know what, I'm just done trusting people." Well, Jesus is not saying do that. In fact, he's saying the opposite. He's saying, no, you know, here's the deal. You shouldn't be so consumed with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 39, he says, "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." So you're like, "Well, Chris, what about the passage? It says it in the Old Testament. You said it said in 3 places. It does say it in 3 places. But it is not talking about a tit-for-tat kind of deal that so many of us are used to thinking about when we hear that statement. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth was something that God gave us in Scripture so that at that time they would know how to deal as a judicial system. This is talking about government justice, okay? It's talking about government justice. And so you go, "Well, Chris, why in the world did that have to be in Scripture? Why did that even..." Well, let me explain. At that time, people were just kind of left to do whatever they thought they should do for justice. So this guy over here, let's say he comes and he steals this guy's, he steals this guy's chair out of his yard. Well, then that guy, you know, finds out, oh, that this guy over here, he's the thief. So he goes over here and to get back at him, he shoots his dog. You know, well, then he's like, "Well, you know, to get back at him, I'm going to go back over to his house and I'm going to burn the thing down. And then that guy's going to go back and he's going to kill that guy." You know, and so there was this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. There was understanding that there had to be justice. There needed to be justice, needed to be right consequences. This is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Right consequences for the thing that was done. And so it was about figuring out the form of punishment within the judicial system. What had happened is over time, people had taken that and gone, "Well, you know, that's my verse, that's my thing, so that I can in turn go do whatever I think needs to be the justice served." And you go, "Well, Chris, how do you know that that's not what God meant?" I know, because Jesus comes here in Matthew chapter 5 and he helps us right to understand what he's talking about. And it says, "But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." By the way, he's not talking about Satan right here. when he's saying one who is evil, he's not talking about one particular. He's talking about whoever. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. He's saying, don't be consumed with this. You got to take into context here. We got to remember. We've got to remember what Jesus is teaching about, what he's been teaching about, where he's been coming from, where he's going. He has constantly been pointing us to an understanding of righteousness. What's it look like to follow Christ? What's it look like for our hearts to be right? Things like jealousy, bitterness, envy, anger, all these things, you know, the truth is that when these things are specifically like jealousy, envy, some of those things, those things are sin. And when they take a hold inside of us, when we've been done wrong by somebody, and they take a hold inside of us at what we want to happen to them, that bitterness, I mean, that stuff begins to destroy us from the inside out. That's why God lets us know what sins are sins. I don't know if you really thought about that or not, but it wasn't like he just sat down one day and was like, well, you know, we'll just make this be fun. Yeah, that'll be a fun sin. We'll do that one too. You know, he tells us what sin is so that we can stay away from it so it doesn't destroy us. He loves us. He cares for us. He doesn't want us to fall prey to those things. And the truth is that those things, man, they do a lot of damage to us. You and I have both been there. We've both been mighty, mighty angry, mighty, mighty bitter at people at times in our lives over things that maybe somebody has done to us. God wants to set us free from that. Jesus wants to set us free from that. In fact, so much so that he says, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. This begins the first of four different illustrations that Jesus uses in the matter of just these verses that we just read just a minute ago. Just four quick little illustrations that Jesus uses, and he's driving home a point, and the point is, and maybe I shouldn't give it away to you this quick, but the point is that we would have a heart of righteousness. That we would in turn be Christ to others. So let's take this first one. Do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You say, okay, so Chris, Jesus is saying here that if God punches me in the face, I should just go, okay, now here's this side now. Go ahead, punch me on this side now too. No, that's not what Jesus is saying here. I want you to look at what this is talking about. Jesus is making a point here. He's not talking about physical harm. Look at it. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I really thought about, like, this would be like the best part to have like an actual illustration and like bring somebody up on stage. For some reason, I kept thinking of like John Mulholland should like come up here on stage with me and do this or whatever. And like I could show you like what Jesus is talking about. But I'll spare you, all right, buddy. Here's what he's talking about. If you look at why is he being so specific? Why is he talking about the right cheek? What's wrong with the left cheek? Well, look at it. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. What he's talking about is there's an assumption being made here that the slap, it's kind of funny to talk about this way, isn't it? But that the slap is being thrown, that it's being given with a right hand. Well, if I slap you with my right hand, slapping you on your left cheek, not your right, right? Right. All right. And so to slap somebody on the right cheek, right-handed, and this was an understood thing. They understood as soon as Jesus was saying this, they understood what he was saying, but they understood that what he meant was that he was talking about giving the backhand. All right? That would have been really fun to have like done that one. But yeah, no, he's talking about giving the backhand. So you're talking about something that's more premeditated and something that's not like, you know, bam, I'm trying to knock you down and like seriously injure you. He's talking about something that is more insulting to who you are. Because in a backhanded slap like that, generally speaking, when that something like somebody does something like that to you, I don't know if that's happened to anybody here recently. I'd love to hear your story. I won't ask you to raise your hand, although I'm really tempted to. But if that's the deal, what they're doing is they're insulting you more than they're trying to hurt you. They're saying you're worthless to me, kind of a statement. And what Jesus is saying, he's like, you know, if you're being insulted, and again, you got to take context in too. I think he is specifically meaning also that we might be insulted for the gospel, that we might be insulted for who we are in Christ. That he's saying, hey, if you're insulted, then let them insult you. And not just let them insult you like to the right cheek, but let them go to the left. Tell them to bring it on. He uses this word resist right here. He says, do not resist the one who is evil. And when he says this word resist, I think you got to recognize this word in particular is a legal word at this time. That when he's saying this, then they understand, they know he's talking about governmental justice. He says, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So we've got this insult deal going on. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. This is talking about something different. We've gone from a judicial, like, let justice be served by the government. And Jesus is, you know, he doesn't even have to make that statement. That's kind of the understood. He's saying, let justice be served. And I know, like, you're, you know, like many of us, we'd probably go, oh, well, you know, our justice system's so jacked up, you know, justice. What if justice isn't served or whatever? Here's my encouragement to you, and even some of you that are right in the middle of a crazy mess right now or whatever. We got I know several families going through different things or whatever. Let me encourage you with this. No matter what happens, no matter if justice really is served, if truth is really found out in a courtroom, I just want to encourage you. God is still sitting on his throne. I got to tell you, I haven't talked about this a whole lot. Years ago, we went through a lawsuit here. It was crazy, just crazy. Somebody, and I would say this much about it. You know, somebody that had never been here before, they weren't looking where they were going, fell off a step, sued the church. It's crazy, right? You'd think, man, that would never happen. Yeah, you go plant a church, not the thing that you're thinking about, you know, going down the line. There were moments even in that where I felt bitterness toward that whole situation. Just felt wrong. I just felt like this isn't right. This shouldn't be, and justice should be served, and you know, and all these things, and you know, and it's so easy to get so like ingrained in that you just, the anger begins to build in you and inside of you. And Jesus is saying, we gotta let that stuff go. Our insult is not worth sin that destroys our lives. Go down to verse 40. Verse 40, it says, and if anyone would sue, this is the second illustration, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. Jesus is actually making a really, really big statement with this verse. I would not expect you to know. I would not have known if I hadn't spent some time really studying it. But what he's saying in this verse is he's talking about something really, really, really big. He's saying, obviously, if somebody sues you and they take this, well, then also give them your cloak. And you're like, okay, no big deal. So in to us, we look at this and we imagine tunic and cloak. We're kind of going, I don't know, shirt and jacket. You know, we're just trying to, like, you know, mimic, you know, what we know in today, you know, and the importance. Well, this is a whole different deal, whole different deal. In fact, the cloak in particular, just kind of go ahead and get to it. The cloak in particular is like this thing that back then, by law, you couldn't have somebody else's cloak. They couldn't keep it. In fact, the understanding is that if somebody had someone else's cloak, they could not keep it for 24 hours because the cloak was something that you would sleep in. So you couldn't have somebody else's cloak. By law, you couldn't have somebody else's cloak. So what Jesus is saying is he's saying, so they took the shirt off your back? Okay, give them the farm. Give them everything you got. And you're like, what? Yeah, that's what they were like. They were like, what? Are you kidding me? I'm not giving anybody my cloak. I sleep in that junk, you know? Jesus, and I said this earlier this morning, we got to be careful when we're reading this, because if we're not careful, we're going to look at the logistics of this more than we're going to look at what Jesus is really after, which is our heart. If we go logistical on this, and it's all about the logistical of like, you know, well, the next time I'm in court, I got to make sure that, you know, no. Back up for a second. You can look at the logistics. It's good to look at them. But it's good to look at them because Jesus is wanting us to check our hearts. He's interested in our hearts. He's interested that if we end up in that situation, and I have some families that have been in that situation recently where they're being sued and they're like, I'm trying to follow the Lord in this. I want to do the right thing by what God would want me to do. That's where Jesus wants us to be. Instead of when we show up, that the bitterness and the anger and all that stuff that just comes with, you know, somebody doing us wrong, really just want to, like, you know, run over their car with a bulldozer and, you know, whatever it is, you know. Jesus is saying, stop. Stop. They're suing you for something. Give it to them. In fact, give them whatever. May your heart be that you wouldn't love anything on this planet more then we would love him. That we would recognize what's really important. See, it's a heart issue. Really big heart, righteousness issue here that he's making. If you look, and this is just for your reference, we're not going there. You can write it down if you're taking notes or whatever. Look at it later if you just want another reference point of something like this. But another passage of Scripture, it talks about not taking believers to court, 1 Corinthians 6:7. And I've seen some families recently deal with that and like really try to follow the Lord through that. Let me encourage you, if you ever go through that or if you're in that situation right now, let me just encourage you, follow the Lord. And if you're following the Lord right now and it's hard, I know it's got to be hard. We know it's got to be hard. We stand behind you and encourage you to follow the Lord. Don't be afraid to follow the Lord. I know that's hard. It's hard to know. And it's not saying that justice shouldn't be served. Somebody's done something against you, and justice, you know, that's not what Jesus is saying. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, still there. That's judicial justice, okay? And justice should be served. But he's saying, you yourself, you got to let it go. Because the sin in your heart can destroy you. Verse 41 is our third illustration here that Jesus comes up with. It says, and if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, then go with him 2 miles. Well, that seems so strange. It's like, what was he talking about? Again, context is everything. At that moment in time, it was common practice and completely legal for a Roman official or a Roman soldier to commandeer a person to help carry something or to walk them or whatever it might be for 1 mile. So as soon as Jesus said this, they knew exactly what he was talking about. And you're like, I'm not even following you. Let me put it in terms like you can relate to today. All right, in action movies, you know, there's always like a chase scene where the police are like chasing somebody on foot, like through town or something. And then like all of a sudden, like that guy jumps on a truck or something and he's getting away. So what's the policeman do? Like he's running in the street, you know, and he's like, he pulls out his badge and he stands in the middle of the street and he stops a car, right? And what's he do? He commandeers the car. And of course, at this point, like you're hoping that the car is like a Hemi Cuda or something cool, you know, for the chase scene to actually be worth watching or, you know, whatever it is. And so, you know, that's the idea. They would commandeer the car. Well, this is same idea. I mean, they would commandeer people for 1 mile. It was an understood thing. They could come up, commandeer you for a mile to carry luggage, stuff for the military, letters, mail, packages, anything like that. They could commandeer you, and if you had a donkey or something like that, mule, whatever, you know, they could commandeer you and the animal, and for 1 mile, you were theirs. Jesus is taking this illustration of something that they loathed as a people. Like, I'm sure these people, like, walked around in life many times just, like, hiding. Like, they probably see, like, officials and stuff, be like, oh, we got to get going. They're going to come over here and ask us to carry that. We got to get going, you know? And Jesus takes this thing that he knows that they loathe, and he's like, look, they have you carried a mile, go two. And you go, why in the world would Jesus say that? Because he wants us to serve people like he has served us. And you go, Chris, they don't deserve that. Somebody that's suing me doesn't deserve for me to give them more than what they earn in court. Somebody that slaps me doesn't deserve to get to slap me again. Somebody that asks me to carry something a mile, some big heavy something or whatever, a mile, doesn't deserve for me to carry it another mile. You're right. And you know what? We don't deserve the cross. He's making a statement that encompasses the gospel being lived out. He's showing us how instead of bitterness, anger, jealousy, envy, any of these crazy things that eat away at us and destroy us from the inside out, he's making a way for us to recognize that those things can be opportunities for us to not just get rid of those and find peace in our heart, but that these things can be opportunities where we get to live out the gospel and people get to experience grace. What drives people to Jesus? Grace. We didn't get what we deserved. We don't get what we deserve. We get grace. And what drives people to Jesus, what makes people look upon Jesus and realize how amazing he is that in of itself, that he gives grace. He gives what we don't deserve. We deserve death, and instead, he took death on our behalf, and he gave us life. He took the cross and rose again to prove that he defeated death that we might live forever, that we might know him. We might be changed forever. That's what Jesus did. And he's like, here are some opportunities for you guys. Instead of the tit for tat and eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth, here's what we're going to do, fellas. We're going to get out there and we're going to do the opposite of what people expect us to do when they do us wrong. That's hard. Isn't that hard? You say, well, Chris, what about I got this crazy? Listen, there's a place for justice. It's within the judicial system. There are going to be people that do you wrong. There are going to be people that take advantage of you. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. How do I know, Chris? How do I know when it's right to show grace? You just do it. You just show grace. We can't worry about when we think it's right. Years of ministry has taught me that I can't go through life trying to judge every single person on what I think that they deserve, whether or not we should help them with food or, you know, whatever. I mean, there are times that, like, I've known for a fact that we've been being taken advantage of, and at that point we're like, okay, we're stopping. We know you're taking advantage of us. We love you. We're not going to let you take advantage of the church. It's the bride of Christ. It's his funding and all that kind of stuff. We're not going to. And I think for us, I think so many times we want to play like the police, you know, and we're not. And that's not our calling. And God knows. God knows their hearts. We don't have to. If he puts opportunity in front of us and we feel like God is leading us to serve them, minister to them, you go on in verse 42, it gets even crazy. It's not just about walking another mile. Verse 42 gets real serious. It says, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Well, we just got real personal there. you mean that if somebody wants to get a loan from me, that I should give them a loan? Chris, what if they burn me? What if they never pay me back? Oh my, what if? What are we going to do? It's money, people. If we love it so much that we would never, ever give a dime to somebody else, we worship it. And that's what God is getting after. He's saying, look, check your hearts. Follow me. Love others. I'll just be honest with you. I think this is the reason why God, I know it's the reason why God wants us to give, why he wants us to bring offerings, tithes, whatever it may be, that we've prayed over, is that so that we wouldn't get to a place in our life where we think so much of that stuff that we love it and that we worship it. Because when we do, it consumes us. God doesn't need our money. In fact, God doesn't even need us. Let me think about this for just a second. I mean, there's a need. In fact, I got a family yesterday texted me. They've been a part of our church on and off for years. They are really struggling right now. Had two families actually message me over the last couple of days, really struggling. This family, this one family that texted me yesterday, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm at a loss, folks. In fact, I just told them, I said, I'm just going to have to start asking people and see what we can try to find out and how to get you guys some help. Like, men, you know what it's like to be a man, and this is a man that's texting me, and he's saying, I don't know what to do, Chris. Like, it's that bad, and I can't even believe I'm asking, but I don't know what to do. Can you help us to figure out what to do financially? We're not going to make it. And many of us have been there. Many of us have been there. You know what that's like. And you know like the last thing a man is going to do is to pick up a phone and ask for that kind of help unless it's bad. And he wasn't even looking like, he wasn't even saying, hey, can the church help us somehow? He was saying, we don't know what to do. Is there financial aid? Do you know about things like that that we can try to figure out to try to help make it? Wife's had surgeries here recently. He's put her out of work for months. He's been starting a business on the side. And in the meantime, what's happened is where her paycheck was helping float the boat when the new business wasn't working, now she's been out of work. They're broke. They got kids to feed and all that stuff. Obviously, we can help with some of those things. If you got ideas, you can come talk to me later. I'm purposely talking about that out loud to you guys today because I really got to figure out how to help them. And that's being the church. We should figure out how to help them. And any of you that ever find yourself in a situation of needing help, we ought to know that we can reach out to our church for help. But it's this reminder, you know, that our lives should be generous lives. We should live generously. You see, God doesn't need our money or our talents or even us. If God wanted to choose to just help that family right now, he could do that. And he might. He might, you know, there might be some huge thing and big blessing in their life. Lord knows they would recognize that it's a huge blessing. But here's what he does. He wants to use us to be a part of the process. You go, Chris, that just complicates stuff. Why has it got to be like that? Well, let me just challenge you in thinking about it. He's glorified. God is glorified when he uses us to be generous to others. We give our stuff away, get money, time, whatever it is. We do that, that's selfless. That brings glory to him. It points back to Jesus. And at the end of the day, when he gets to point back to himself, others see the real Jesus. Not the American Jesus that we've made, you know, to be like it's just a churchy thing or a TV evangelist thing or whatever that everybody, you know, is like going, well, I don't trust that Jesus because that Jesus didn't help me when I needed help. Well, you know why they don't trust us is because of that right there. We should help when they need help. And he says, give to the one who begs from you. And do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. That's not a deal of like, hey, I'm going to give somebody a loan and see how much interest I can charge. That's not talking about that. That's just, that's Jesus saying, hey, you give a loan, be happy if you never get it back. Because it doesn't matter as much as we think that it does. Augustine, you know, talks about, you know, because I know, again, it's real easy for us to go, man, what if I get taken advantage of? You know, again, we gotta pay attention. Here's something Augustine says. I think it's a great quote. He says, give to everyone that asks. It's not give everything to those who ask. Give to everyone that asks, not give everything to those that ask. We've still got to be smart. We've still got to be faithful. We've still got to take care of our families. But God's saying, I want you to do that. And I also want you to serve and love others like I have served and loved you. You see, it's a heart issue. The only part about this being to us is the heart issue. The rest of it is completely not about us. It is completely serve others, love others. What Jesus spent all of his last days going over and over and over and over again, trying to help us understand the gospel and to go love people. He says, love them, serve them, feed my sheep, take care of them. This is our calling. This is our life. If we are truly followers of Christ, this is of so high of an interest to us that we put ourselves in the second place. We got a book at the house that it's called Minosaur. Ever heard that book? It's a kid's book. And it's about this, about these dinosaurs in a book. It shows them on the playground. They've all got some toys. And I think there's like some toys they're supposed to be sharing at the school or whatever. The whole point of the book is, you know, this one dinosaur becomes known as the Minosaur. Because every time there's a toy that's brought out, he goes, mine, 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 mine. He wants to keep it for himself. He's the Minosaur. Doesn't share. Doesn't love. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. The attitude of our heart is what Jesus is getting after here. It's about generosity. And you know what? Some days for us, it's like, well, Chris, you know, we're having a hard time as it is. I don't know how in the world we can do anything for anybody else. Let me tell you what. If you open your heart and you pray to God and you ask Him to show you ways, He will show you ways and He will put people in front of you. If you really want to follow Jesus, if you really want to get your hands dirty, if you want to be a part of kingdom work where people's lives are changed and they really get to see Jesus, which in turn helps lead people to Jesus, which is, let's face it, I mean, if that's not glory to God, I don't know what is. That's what it's about. It's not about how much we have or don't have. That's just a cop-out for so many of us to go, well, I'm too busy and I don't have enough money and we don't have this, we don't have that, they got this. Forget all that. Serve Jesus by loving people. He's calling us to happiness. He's given us the keys to peace in our hearts. He's saying, hey, be free from the bitterness and all that stuff that's destroying you. And find peace in me. Trust in me. That's huge peace here. I mean, that's a huge, huge peace. Is that we could have peace. You go, Chris, again, I got a rough situation going on here. Who doesn't? Anybody in here not got a rough situation going on? Because we're all going to come to your house when this is over with. Life's hard. It is, you know. I wish that Jesus would just like call time out at some point in Scripture and just actually say the statement, hey, you got a lemon, make some lemonade, you know? Because, I mean, in essence, that's what he's doing. And so much of it is our outlook on life. And the truth is said for things that of people that might borrow money and never pay it, for people that might ask us to walk that mile, for people that might slap us in the face. You know, all these things are situations, sue us or whatever. All these are situations where it would be easy for us to just be just so down and out about life. And Jesus is basically saying, hey, guess what? None of it matters. Maybe you need to hear that today. Maybe you need to hear today that like that big thing in your life that is making you miserable doesn't matter. You go, Chris, well, it does matter because it includes people. And I love some of these people. I hear you. I understand. Those people matter. I'm not saying those people don't matter. I'm saying Jesus is saying, hey, turn the other cheek. Go the extra mile. Now you know where the saying comes from. Go the extra mile. Does your life include things like spite and bitterness? Do you constantly find yourself seeking revenge and retaliating against people that have maybe done you wrong? Stop doing it. You don't want to do that. You don't want to live that life. You won't get anywhere with it. You go, well, Chris, I might get some of my money back or whatever. So what? You know what? God will give and take away whatever He wants to. It is all His. We are nothing but managers. And that's hard for some of us, especially men. You know, we know this is hard because, man, we're thinking about, man, life is hard, you know, enough as it is. And, you know, we're thinking, man, it can't be just that way. We can't just be managers. It can't all be God's. Yeah, it is. It totally is. It totally is. And God wants us to be generous with it so that He can show out and show who He is. The gospel shows us that Jesus is enough and that we should trust God. People need to see us trust God. Did you know that? Like, that's a part of God's plan in this world, is that those who don't know Christ would see those that do know Christ actually really trust God. He's glorified in that. And they see something that's supernatural. When in situations like somebody suing us and we're like, well, you know, whatever happened will happen. The Lord's in control. And I go, how in the world can you have an attitude like that? What else are you going to do? You're just going to be angry and bitter and let the sin get a hold of you? I mean, you can't control it anyway. Resist, he says. Resist. We've got to quit trying to get back at people. Maybe you do this, you don't even realize you do it. You got a spouse who, you know, generally helps keep the house clean, and they've been kind of laying down on their chores here lately. You've been thinking, you're not going to clean the house? I won't take out the trash. I can play this game, and I'll wait them out. And we'll have 10 bags of trash in our kitchen. We'll just see what they do then. Maybe they'll want to clean a house then, right? See, that brother knows. He didn't get here not knowing something. Got a friend that you feel like, you know, they should have been there for you and they weren't, you know? And then all of a sudden they're going through something and you're thinking, well, I'd be there for them, but they weren't there for me. That's revenge. That's retaliation. Jesus says stop. He says stop. Don't do it. It's not good for us. It hurts us. He says, follow me and show grace continually. Turn the other cheek. Find that peace. Here's the truth. Jesus took the backhand from us. Instead of knocking us to the ground, He took death and He gave us life. pretty amazing when you think about it. We have a chance to break the chain of evil and sin in situations like this. Whereas the temptation is for us to continue the cycle because we want to get ours, right? I encourage you to follow the Lord for whatever He's leading you to do. And I want to read this passage to you, and I'm going to close with this passage. This passage is from 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in this passage, Paul talks a whole bunch, and I recommend reading the whole chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter, we're just going to read a small section. But Paul, before we get to the part that I'm going to read, talks a whole lot about his rights. And he goes through all of these rights that he has, you know. And we can get very much, especially us Americans, I mean, we can get very much like, you know, and nothing wrong with having rights. I'm thankful for rights. But, you know, he gets to talking about all these rights, and at the end of it all, he says, you know, I have all these rights, but the truth is I don't count them as anything. Because I gave away my rights when I gave my life to Christ. It's not exactly what he says, but that's what he's getting at. Verse 19 of chapter 9, 1 Corinthians says this. It says, for though, he follows that up with this, says, for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside of the law, became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means, here it is, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessings. Jesus wants us to see that these things that happen to us in life, that we can forego retaliating, finding revenge in those situations for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Him. We put up with the sins of others for Christ's sake and for theirs. I'll say that again. We put up with the sins of others for Christ's sake and for theirs. When we do, they see Jesus. They need Jesus. We know this, right? They need Jesus. And we go, well, Chris, they hurt me. Let me tell you something. Hurt people hurt people. Hurt people. They hurt people. It should be no surprise to us that they hurt us. And instead of retaliating, we have a chance to put the gospel out in the front. Jesus put up with our sin for His sake and for ours, for His glory and our salvation. So today, what's going on in your heart? You holding something against somebody? You got something that, man, it's just so built up. Man, I don't know, some crazy situations right now going on with some people. But I just want to encourage you, follow the Lord through it. Trust in Him. Don't let the bitterness, don't let that stuff well up inside of you and get at you. Satan wants that to happen. Jesus is saying, stop. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. It's a mirage that you think that you're going to be happy even if you got it. At the other end, you're not. It's just going to feed into more and more bitterness and anger, because that's what sin does. It continues to destroy and it feeds itself. Jesus says, trust in me. For the sake of the gospel, may we too resist revenge and be generous. Last thing I'll tell you. There's somewhere in Scripture where we see a Roman soldier asks somebody to carry something. You know what it is? Somewhere in Scripture, we see the Roman soldier ask somebody to carry something. Remember that whole carry the mile thing? He asked Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross of Jesus. And Jesus has asked us to do the same. You may be here today and you may not know Jesus, but I want you to know He loves you. He cares for you. If you've not been a Christian before now because other Christians you've seen haven't really been the real deal, I'm sorry about that. We're sinners. We mess it up. That's what we do. But God gives grace, and He wants to give it to you, and He wants to save you from yourself and from your sin. If you want to talk about that today, we'd love to talk with you, pray with you. After the service is over with, we'll be down here in the front. We'll take whatever time we need to do that. Let's pray together.